celebrate 13 years. 13 years of leadership for Pastor Jim and Diane. Can you just give it up to them? Thank you, God, for 13 years. 13 years of faithfulness. 13 years of creativity. 13 years of unity. 13 years of leadership. 13 years of sacrifice. 13 years of love. 13 years for saying the hard things when hard things need to be said. 13 years for saying the encouraging things when encouraging things need to be said. 13 years. 13 years of faithfulness. It is such a blessing to be here to celebrate with all of you. It really, really is. And I just want to say, I always feel at home when I come to Bright Star. I always feel at home because there's nothing like being in the front row at a black church. There's just nothing like it. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like it. So I don't know if you're into sports, but I love sports. And one of the things that I love about sports is when you see a team that is in so sync and harmony that they don't even need to talk to each other when they're doing the next move. Like, that's what I see every time you guys are worshiping together. There's just such a unity of the Spirit of God here that there's spiritual no-look passes happening in here. There's spiritual audibles happening in here. There's spiritual Oklahomas being called in here, and then things are happening on the other side of that. I'm telling you, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And it's such a blessing to be with all of you here. And I also just want to say thank you to my Crossroads family for being here as well. I'm seeing a bunch of familiar faces from Crossroads, people that I get to do life with, get to call my brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are really honored to be here with all of you. So I'm going to get into the Word, because that's what I came for, is to get into the Word. I believe God has a Word for all of us today. This is something that He's been stirring in me, and I'm excited to share it with all of you. Let me pray. And then we'll jump in. God, thank you so much for 13 years of faithfulness. God, we thank you because we know that none of this is possible without your presence here over those 13 years. And God, I know that the Strayhorn family and the ministry that they've had to the West End goes far beyond 13 years, God. So thank you for decades and decades of faithfulness to this church community as they have been a light leading people to Christ here on the West End. God, thank you for that. And God, today as we come and have worshiped you and have celebrated who you are, God, now we want to come and be fed. God, I just admit that even though I've had a sneak peek at what you're going to say, I don't know all of what you want to say in this moment. And I just want to yield myself to you and say, God, have your way. God, have your way through this time. Have your way. Say what you want to say. God, if we don't hear from you, then all of this is for naught. If we don't get a word from you, then it doesn't matter that we got up this morning excited to come to a place where we could hear from you if we don't hear from you. So God, we need you. We need you. And here's what I know. I know that you're a good shepherd. And I know that you're a shepherd who feeds his sheep. And so God, I know that we will hear from you today. And so I'm excited about that. And I pray that you would guide this time. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And amen. I just was thinking about this as I was sitting down, that there's a theme for the anniversary this year, and it comes from 2 Timothy 2:4. One of my favorite letters in the New Testament is 1 and 2 Timothy, because Paul is writing all of his pastoral wisdom to his mentee, Timothy. He's just telling him things that he needs to know about how to lead a spiritual community, and I find over and over again encouragement, comfort, correction, inspiration from these words. And in 2 Timothy 4:2, this is the theme, and I just want to say this as a blessing, as a word of thanks over you and First Lady Diane. It says, preach the word. Can somebody say preach?
Preach.
Preach the word. Now, I'll just stop there and tell you, my mom is so bummed that she can't be here today. Because you just have to know, I grew up in the black church. I grew up in a church like this. And my mom has been to Crossroads many times. And there are a couple things my mom loves a lot of things about Crossroads. She loves a lot of things about Crossroads. But there's some things my mom just misses when she comes to Crossroads. So one of the things my mom is so bummed about is she said, Chuck, you mean to tell me you're going to not preach in jeans today and I won't get to see it? I said, Mom, yes, I'm not. This is about as dressed up as a Crossroads pastor gets. So my mom is blown away that I'm actually not preaching in jeans today. Here's the other thing my mom is missing. She said, Chuck, you got to hoop a little bit. If you're going to the black church, you got to hoop a little bit. So now, the jury is out as to whether or not I'll hoop or not. You'll be the judge of that. But if I do, just know, my mom is going to miss the fact that she didn't get to see her son hoop this morning. So that's the other thing she's going to miss. But here's the other thing I know my mom would say. If my mom had been at this service up until the point that we've come to right now, my mom would have leaned over to me and she would have said, Chuck, you better preach. You better preach. Now, here's why she would say that. She would say, because this man is a preacher's preacher. You ever heard that? This is a preacher's preacher right here. So when it says preach the word, this man preaches the word. He is a preacher's preacher. Already I've received something from just his encouragement today. Preach the word, it says. Be ready in season and out of season. Now, here's what I know. From being in ministry myself for over 10 years, I'm just going to tell you, you're not always in season. It wouldn't be in there if it didn't need to be said that sometimes you're off your game. Sometimes the pastor is questioning what God is up to. I know it might seem like they always get along when they come in here, but sometimes you've just had a little bit of marital strife and you got to still go lead God's people. So what does it say here? Be prepared in season and out of season. It's okay if you're out of season. There's something God can give you when you're out of season that you don't experience when you're in season. So that's what it says. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Now here's the thing. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Those are all the things no one wants their pastor to do for them. Everybody wants encouragement. Everybody wants your pastor to give you a word about how you're going to get this job, how you get this blessing. Everybody wants that. Nobody really comes to church and says, I am hoping I get rebuked today. That's what, when I woke up this morning and I got myself ready for church, man, I'm just hoping, I need somebody to rebuke me, so I'm hoping my pastor will rebuke me today. People don't come to church thinking that, right? But that's the call of ministry. With complete patience and teaching. And one of the things I know here at Bright Star is that everything you're walking in, you've been taught. Everything that you're stepping into, you've been taught. You have a preacher, but you also have a teacher. You also have someone who shows up and teaches Sunday school where he can walk at a different pace than he does here in the Sunday morning worship. And I'm just telling you, I want to thank you for being an example to me of what pastoral leadership looks like. I want to thank you for that, because there are things that you've learned over 13 years that I still need to learn. There are things that you've walked through over 13 years that I am going to walk through. And I'm so thankful that when I get to those points in ministry, I can call your pastor. And I can ask him, hey, help me through this. This is new for me. I'm out of season. What does it look like to move through this when I'm out of season? So I'm just so thankful for the committed and faithful example that the two of you have been. Now, I didn't come to preach on that. I got something else to preach on, but I just wanted to say that because I just was inspired as I thought about your faithfulness and what that means. So I want to start with a question, and the question is simply this. Who wants to experience more of what God has for them? Who wants to experience more of what God has for them? In fact, now I can do this because I'm at Bright Star. This would maybe take too long at Crossroads, but I want you to get up and I want you to shake hands with five people, and I want you to tell them, God has more for you. Get up and tell five people that God has more for you. 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 God has more for you, brother. God has more for you. God has more for you. God has more for you. All right, you can make your way back to your seat. God bless you. God has more for you. Go ahead and make your way back to your seat. God has more for you. All right, you can make your way back to your seat. Maybe I shouldn't have done that at Bright Star either, huh? That didn't work too well. That's all right. That's all right. No matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what it is in your life, I want you to know God has more for you. God has more for you. There is more of His presence for you. There is more of His power for you. There is more of His freedom for you. There is more of his joy for you. There is more deliverance for you. There is more wisdom for you. There is more hope for you. God has more for you. But there is a way things work. There is a way things work. In the kingdom of God, there is a way things work. And so we want more of what God has for us. But what we need to understand is there is a way this works. There is a way this works. We understand this. There's no part of our life that doesn't work this way. I don't know what your profession is. I don't know what you do for a living. But my guess is if I were to come and say I want to do your job for a day, you would say, great, Chuck, but there is a way this works. There's a way you're supposed to do this, right? A friend of mine is here, and I saw her in there. She's a physician. Now, here's the thing. There's a lot of you that I may be able to switch jobs with you for a day, and I might not mess up too badly. Like, you know, things might be okay. I can't just go into Anna's job tomorrow and start doctoring people, right? Start writing prescriptions for stuff that I think that I can't. Why? Because there's a way that works, right? There's a way that works. Anybody ever experienced this in a relationship? You hitting walls in a relationship, in a friendship. You know what? You learn really quickly there's a way things work. You can't just treat people any way you want to treat them and expect to get something in response. There's a way things work. Anybody raising kids in here or having raised kids, right? When it comes to raising kids, there's a way things work, right? You can try all you want to have your kids in a place for 5 hours and give them no food, and you don't want your kid to act up. Your kid's going to act up. You know why? Because there's a way things work. There's a way things work when you're raising teenagers. There's a way things work when you're interacting with older kids. There is a way things work. Anybody in here single and want to get married? Anybody in here single and would like to find a partner? Hey, I want that for you too. I want that for you too. I want that for you too. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing though. If you want a relationship, if you want a relationship to head toward marriage, there's a way dating works to get there. There's a way dating works to get there, and there's a way dating will not work to get there. There's a way things work. If you're in here and you want to stay married, if you're already married, there's a way things work. Can I hear an amen from the married people in the house? There's a way marriage works. There's a way marriage works. If you're in the keeping score game in your marriage, it won't work. It won't work. If you're in the continually giving grace because I need grace game, it will work. There's a way things work. There's a way marriage works. If you want to run a marathon, there's a way things work. If you want to lead people, there's a way things work. How about this one? If you want to win game one of the NBA Finals, J.R. Smith, there's a way things work. There's a way things work. Now, I know I'm preaching to somebody right now. I'm the biggest Cavs fan you'll find. I love it. My boy, my son, he loves LeBron James. Let me just tell you, if it's game one and you are at the Warriors gym and you have a chance to win the game and you are tied and the foul shot is missed and you get the rebound in the paint,
go back up.
There's a way that works. Amen. I got an amen on that, right? There's a way things work. This is true in every area of our lives. There's a way things work. This principle is true in the physical and it's true in the spirit. So here's the deal. Who doesn't want more of God? We all do. I want everything God has for me, but what I'm learning is that there's a way things work. So friends, I want to tell you this. We cannot step into more of God if we don't know who we are. We cannot step into more if we don't know whose we are. We cannot step into more if we don't know our authority in Christ. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how do we walk in our authority in Christ. Now, when I think about authority, I think definitions are helpful. So an authority is the power or right to give orders, make decisions, or enforce obedience. That's what authority means. It's the power or right to give orders, make decisions, or enforce obedience. Now, I'm going to tell you a place in my life where I encounter authority every day. It's when I drop my kids off for school. Anybody drop their kids off for school and have a crossing guard that you come across at some point, or a traffic cop that's directing traffic, right? That is a perfect picture of authority. Now, at my kid's school, his name is Officer Miller. And let me tell you, Officer Miller is the coolest traffic cop you will ever see. He is so cool. So, you know, like, I remember when I first started coming, like, the guy's got his uniform on, you know, he's got the yellow vest on. Man, he exudes authority. And it's like, you know, he's waving you on, he's telling the other cars to stop, but he does it with such a cool, smooth thing. And I remember every day I would, like, drive by Officer Miller and I was waiting for him to help me make my left turn. And when I'd make my left turn, I'd kind of do one of these, like, hey, how you doing, Officer Miller? Like, I just wanted to be cool with him. I wanted him to know who I was. And I'll never forget the first day when I saw Officer Miller recognize me. So he's doing his thing, and I'm like, you know, and he's like, you can make your left turn. I make my left turn, and I do my, like, hi, Officer Miller, and he does this. While he's directing traffic, he's like, peace sign. Peace sign. I'm in. I love it. Now, here's the thing. Officer Miller does not have physical power that is greater than my minivan. He doesn't. If I didn't listen to his authority, it would not go well for Officer Miller. But what do I know? I know that if I don't listen to Officer Miller, while it may not go well for Officer Miller, ultimately it will not go well for me, right? Because he is there standing as an example of some authority that's even greater than him, that has endowed him, given him the ability to give direction, to enforce obedience, to give orders, right? And there are symbols that communicate that to us. He took an oath at some point to say, I am under this authority, and I'm going to operate according to this authority. Every day he wears a uniform that communicates his authority. And every day he does actions that are in keeping with the law that established his authority. And I want you to understand there is a spiritual reality of authority that very much works the same way. It very much works the same way. So what I want to do is unpack three spiritual principles to help us understand how, like Officer Miller, we can walk in the authority that is ours in Jesus Christ. Do you know that you have authority if you're in relationship with Jesus? Do you know that there's a level at which you can enforce obedience to things that are not the will of Jesus? Do you know there's a level at which you can give orders to things that are anti-Jesus? You have authority in Jesus. But we need to understand how to operate in that authority. So here's the first thing you have to understand. Principle number one, the kingdom of God works on authority. We need to understand that God has set up the world to operate according to authority. And so I'm going to walk you through how this shows up in the big picture story of the Bible. The first way we see this is that God gave authority. He gave authority to Adam and Eve. If you turn in your Bibles to Genesis 1:28, you'll read these words. It says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And then he says this, and have dominion. And have dominion. God's first words to humanity were rule. Be fruitful, multiply, and rule. Take authority over the earth. I have given you authority over the earth. So the first thing we need to understand is that this is core to the Bible. This is the very first part of the Bible we see God giving authority over the earth to humanity. Now that's the first part of the story. Sadly, there's a second part to the story. God gave authority over the earth to humanity, but Satan stole that authority when we fell in the garden. So if you go to John 14:30, you'll see Jesus saying this. As he's about to go to the cross, he says, I will no longer talk much with you. And he says this, for the ruler of this world is coming. Chuck, why do you believe that Satan has authority over the... Because Jesus said it. Jesus said it. Jesus is saying when we rebelled against God, not only did we introduce all kinds of brokenness and havoc into the world, but we literally gave up what was ours. We gave up our authority. And now Satan has and had a level of authority on the earth. So this is one of the things I struggle with is people will say things like, you know, how does a good God let bad things happen? When you ask that question, empathetically, I understand why we ask that question. But we need to understand the reality we live in. The reality is there is an evil authority that's active and operating in this world because of sin. So bad things do happen to good people when you have that context. We have to understand that as believers. Now, thankfully, the second part of the authority story is not the end of the story either. God gave authority to humanity. Satan stole that authority when we fell in sin. But praise God, Jesus reclaimed that authority through his death, resurrection, and ascension. Jesus reclaimed it. So Colossians 2, 13 and 15 says this. It says, and you who were dead in your trespasses, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him. And listen to what it says, having forgiven all our trespasses. So there were real things that stood between me and God. And when Jesus stood on the cross as the sacrifice for me, he dealt with that. And so those trespasses have been forgiven. But then it says this, he also canceled the record of debt that stood against us and its legal demands. Because we gave up authority, Satan had a level of autonomy to harm us, to do damage to us. But when Jesus died on the cross and when we come under his victory on the cross, that goes away. Those legal demands are dealt with, and we are debt free in Jesus. That's a powerful principle for us to understand. He set it aside, nailing it to the cross. And this is the part I love. It says, and then he disarmed the rulers and authorities. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him on the cross. So what we need to understand, we took communion today, and we need to understand. That's right, that's right. It's a lot. You're right. That's a good word. Slow down. They're full. That's full. I'm choking you. I love it. All right. Let me slow down. Let me just say it this way. Jesus reclaimed what was ours in the first place. Jesus restored what was ours in the first place. And because of our relationship with Jesus, we can walk in what was ours in the first place. Is that good? Chew it. Just chew it a little bit. Chew it a little bit. All right, I like it. And here's the beautiful thing. You don't have to work for this. This is not about how good you are. This is about how good God is. So you receive this authority at the moment that you receive Jesus. The moment you put your faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. The moment you put your faith in what Jesus accomplished in the resurrection, beating death. The moment you put your faith in his ascension to the throne of God in heaven, where he is right now, the moment that you do that, bam, it's yours again. Amen. So when we talk about redemption, this is part of redemption. Yes, I'm going to heaven. Praise God I'm going to heaven. Praise God that my sins are forgiven. Yes. And there's a level of authority that I now walk in right here, right now. Before I even get to the fulfillment of heaven. There's a little bit of heaven that I'm able to deal out right now because I'm in relationship with Jesus. And I don't want us to be people who don't operate in what is rightfully ours. So Matthew 16, 19, Jesus says this, I will give you the keys. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And then he says this, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's what Jesus says. Let's just be clear. What he's saying there are things on this earth that you and I should say no to. There are things on this earth that we can say, we don't want to stand for that. Let me give you an example. As the people of God, we should say no to the violence that is plaguing our cities. We should say no to that. And there is a level of authority we have in Jesus to not just say no, but to enact a no. Does that make sense? To walk out a no. To love so there is a no. Right. To preach the gospel so there is a no. There's something that we can do in our authority. We have keys to bind on earth what is bound in heaven. And here's the great thing. Not only that, he says, but whatever you loose on earth. Whatever you release on earth will be released in heaven. And really the way to read this is basically what Jesus is saying. And again, this is where our English can sometimes trip us up. He's basically saying, whatever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. So just come into agreement with that. Whatever you loose on earth has already been released from heaven. So just come into agreement with that. That's really what he's saying. And in Luke 10:19, Jesus puts it this way. He says, behold, I have given you authority. To do what? To tread on serpents and scorpions. To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nothing shall hurt you. Now, when I read Luke 10:19, and when you read it, probably the first thing you think about is snake handlers, right? Because there are people who stopped at those words and said, we have authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. And they said, that must mean literal serpents and scorpions. Now, I'm not saying that that's like a total misnomer on this. But if you just keep reading, Jesus connects that to his next statement when he says, and over all the power of the enemy. Right. Over all the power of an enemy. So here's the thing. Going back to Eden, going back to the garden, who was the serpent? Right? So when Jesus is saying serpents and scorpions, could it be, might it be, that he's not saying that means you should be pulling out snakes in church and holding them? Maybe he's not saying that. Maybe he actually has something even greater in mind. Maybe it means you have authority over the serpent who in the garden took your authority. And maybe that serpent won't be able to do anything to hurt you. I don't know about you. I like that interpretation much better than holding snakes in church. I'm just going to go with that for me. If holding snakes is your thing, let it be your thing. But it's not my thing. But what is my thing is seeing the ways that the serpent has worked lies into my family for generations. Seeing the ways that the serpent has broken up marriages in my family for generations. Seeing the way that the serpent has caused addiction to be a pattern that repeats in my family for generations. And I would like to believe that through the authority of Jesus, I can say no to that. I can say no to that. I can bind that. And I can loose marriages that stay in covenant. I can loose people who walk out of the addiction that has them enslaved. That's what I choose to believe Jesus is saying here. And it's good news. And it's good news. But there is a way things work. How many people in here know there's a difference between having something and actually using it appropriately? Let me throw this out. I'm not trying to put anybody under the bus on this, but maybe I'm not the only one who has bought something from the store that I think I need. And then I go in my closet and realize I already have the same thing. Unused. Am I not the only person who's had that experience? Am I the only person who's had that experience, right? Maybe this is just me. Maybe this is my age. This happens to me all the time. I'm learning that as my kids get into technology, they know a lot more about how it works than I do. So it's been on several occasions now where my son has helped me to understand that this thing that I want my phone to do, it actually already does. But I didn't know how to use it. Friends, there is a difference between having something and knowing how to use it. So you, as a follower of Jesus, if you are in relationship with Jesus, you have authority. But do you know how to use it? Do you know how to walk in it? Do you know how to operate? This is the thing that the Lord is teaching me. And one of the things he's teaching me about how to walk in it is this. Authority flows from identity. That's critical. It is critical that you hear this. If you don't hear anything else that I say, you got to get this. Authority flows from identity. There is a way things work. And the way authority in the kingdom works is that it flows through identity. I put it to you this way. The degree to which we understand who we are in Christ determines the degree to which we walk in the authority of Christ. Let me say that again. The degree to which we understand who we are in Christ determines the degree to which we walk in the authority of Christ. You've got to know who you are in Christ. You've got to know your identity in Christ. And you've got to know that the big conspiracy that the enemy plays every day is to try to get you and me to put our identity in anything other than Christ. That's his strategy. He wants your identity to be about anything and everything other than being a child of God. So we've got to know who we are. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called what?
Children of God."
What's your identity? You are a child of God. If you're in a relationship with Jesus, you are a child of God. You need to say that to yourself. Say, "I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God." That's my primary identity. Your primary identity is a child of God. And it says, "And so we are." We have to know who we are. There's an old Scottish theologian, and he said this. He said, "Because we are the sons of God, let us become the sons of God."
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So first, a little bit of context. This is historical. This is when they didn't use like male and female pronouns. So ladies, you're included in this. You could put it this way in 2018. Because we are the sons and daughters of God, let us become the sons and daughters of God. So just put that out there right now. But I love what he's saying here. See, because what he's saying is there's a difference between having something and actually walking in it. Because we are the sons of God. Yes, done. Moment of faith, I'm a child of God. Let us become the sons of God. Let me learn how to walk in who I am. Let me learn to walk in my identity. I think about this with my kids. I've got 3 kids, 9, 6, and 4, and I love being a dad. And one of the things I've noticed as my kids get older, and Jim, I'm sure your kids never did this, but my kids, particularly when we're at Crossroads, particularly when we're at the place where I pastor, my kids have a different swagger when they're with me at Crossroads. I'm noticing that. That my kids can have a tendency to walk around that place like they kind of own the place, right? They can do that. Now, I know your sons never did this. I know that your kids never did this. But I'm noticing this with my kids. I'm noticing that my kids think it's okay to do things at Crossroads that's not okay for them to do. And I got to like say, no, you why do you think you can do that? I'm hearing from the people. We have an awesome kids club at Crossroads. And every now and then I'll hear from them like, you know, my sons are somewhere and maybe they see me talking on the screen. They're like, hey, that's my dad. It's my dad. Now there's a part of that obviously I need to parent through, but there's a part of that I love because you know what? My kids understand that their identity is flowing from me. They know that there's something about who my dad is that tells me who I am. There's something about what my dad is about that tells me what I'm about. Right? There's something about that. So there's a little bit of swagger that I love that they have because they're relating the fact that they're my children. That there's some things that are theirs because authority flows through identity. It flows from identity. What's your daddy's name? What's your daddy's name? What's your daddy's name? And let me tell you something. The science on this, the research on this is abundantly clear. If children simply know more about their family history, if children simply know maybe a little something about their grandfather, maybe they've had dinner at the table with their uncle, all the statistics are very clear. Kids who are more rooted in their identity do better in school. They handle stress better. They have lower incidence of drug use, of violence, of everything. Now, you can trace it to a lot of things, but I choose to believe there's a kingdom principle at work there. That authority flows from identity. And so, friends, I want you to know, you need to know who you are in Christ. I'm going to send you to a resource that I wouldn't have enough slides to cover. There's a guy named Neal Anderson, N-E-A-L, and his last name is A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, Neal Anderson. And if you look up who I am in Christ, you'll find a list of just truths from Scripture that remind you and I of who we are in Christ. And I would encourage you, man, to think about that as that's gospel truth for you. We have to know who we are. Because the degree to which we understand who we are in Christ determines the degree to which we will walk in the authority of Christ. Identity flows from authority. Authority flows from identity. And the second principle is this. Authority grows through submission. Authority grows through submission. I'll put it to you this way. The degree to which we surrender our lives to Christ determines the degree to which we will walk in the authority of Christ. So you can be in the family, but not experiencing the fullness of authority because you're not willing to surrender your life fully to Jesus. And again, I'm not talking about heaven or hell here. This, you know, that's where this it gets confusing for us because we think like, oh, this is a heaven or hell thing. No. Let's assume that when your faith in Jesus was sealed, that's done.
Right.
But can I just tell you, as a parent, my kids get different levels of freedom based on their submission to me.
Right.
Don't you treat your kids the same way? Right? My kids, amen, right? My kids get different levels of authority based on their obedience to me. And they should. I was leaving today, and my son was bothered because he wanted to like use some technology thing. It's always about technology in my house. I don't know if that's just me, but it's always about technology. And so what we learned is he had learned the passcode that we put to protect the thing. He had learned it, but didn't tell us. And then my wife found out. And so today he was asking me for something else, and I said, "Hey, buddy, let me just tell you. I didn't say anything to you yesterday, but." My understanding is you knew the password and chose to use it to go places we told you not to go. And he was like, I did, but. I said, no, wait. So what you're telling me when you do that is that you don't have the maturity yet to get more. So don't ask me for more. Don't ask me for more because you've demonstrated you don't have the maturity for more. Maybe this is familiar. If I can't trust you in a small thing, if you can't be faithful in a small thing, I can't give you more. And so I'm just telling you, the more you surrender your life, the more Jesus has open space to deal with everything in your life, you will walk in more authority. You will just simply walk in more authority. Jesus put it this way in Mark 1:15. He said, the time is fulfilled. And he said, and the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he says this, repent and believe in the gospel. I don't know how you think about repentance, but I want you to know repentance is the best thing you can do. When in doubt, if you're in relationship with Jesus, when in doubt, repent. I'll just give you free advice. When in doubt, repent. Things aren't working well, repent. Just seriously. What does repent mean? It means to simply change your mind. It means to change your mind. And I want you to know, repentance is a doorway to more power for us as believers. It is a doorway to more power. There's a funny cartoon, and it just kind of demonstrates how we can be in but not fully in. There's a guy getting baptized. And the pastor's baptizing him. And as the guy's getting baptized, he is submerged. But you see his hand sticking out, and he's got his wallet and a couple dollar bills like this as he's going under the water. Right? Not fully surrendered. So Jesus, you can have my life, but you can't have my money. Right?
Amen.
Jesus, you can have my life, but you can't have my dating relationships. Jesus, you can have my life, but you can't have this habit that I really depend on for comfort when nobody's watching, right? Like, I'm telling you, these are the things that keep us from walking more fully in the authority that God has for us. And Jesus said, the time has come. The time has come. Repent and believe in good news. When you turn, there is good news on the other side of that repentance. There is good news on the other side of that. There's another writer and thinker, Dallas Willard, wrote a lot of great things about the kingdom of God. And he has this one analogy around repentance and the kingdom. I think it's just great. I want to read it to you. It's a little bit lengthy, but I want to read it to you. He says this, as a child, I lived in an area of southern Missouri where electricity was available only in the form of lightning. But in my senior year of high school, the Rural Electrification Administration extended its lines into the area where we lived. And electrical power became available to household and farms. When those lines came by our farm, a very different way of living presented itself. Our relationships to fundamental aspects of light, daylight and dark, hot and cold, clean and dirty, work and leisure, preparing food and preserving it could then be vastly changed for the better. But we still had to believe in the electricity and its arrangements, understand them, and take practical steps involved to rely on it. You may think the comparison rather crude, and in some respects it is, but it will help us to understand Jesus' basic message about the kingdom of heaven if we pause to reflect on those farmers who, in effect, heard the message, repent, for electricity is at hand, turn from your kerosene lamps and lanterns, your ice boxes and cellars, your scrub boards and rug beaters, your women-powered sewing machines, and your radio with dry cell batteries. The power that could make their lives far better was right there near them, whereby making relatively simple arrangements, they could utilize it. Strangely, a few did not accept it. They did not enter the kingdom of electricity. Think about that. Think about that. Think about it. For some reason, you're just choosing not to operate in power that is available for you.
Preach, man.
It's the summertime. Message. We have power outages all the time. I am so spoiled. I hate to be without my power for 20 minutes.
Right. Yeah, man.
20 minutes. It's like, don't open the refrigerator because this might never go away. We don't want to have our food spoiled, right?
Right.
We have become so accustomed to operating in the power of electricity. And friends, I want you to know, Jesus wants you to be so accustomed to operating in the power of your authority in Christ that it's not strange when the power is on. It's strange when the power is out. What happened here? Wait. What happened here? I'm not operating in the power that's mine in Jesus. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'm going to repent. I'm going to come back to what God has for me. So friends, I just want you to know, it is about bringing your whole life under the authority of Christ. It is about letting the authority of Christ determine how you pray. It is about letting the authority of Christ have reign over your spirit, soul, and body, your heart, mind, and will. It is about the authority of Christ being the ultimate authority over your household, over your relationships, over your kids, over your home, over your work, over your finances, over your vehicles, over everything in your small K kingdom. When we bring it under the authority of Jesus, the degree to which we surrender it determines the degree on the other side to which we operate and walk in the authority that is ours in Jesus Christ. I'm almost done. To recap, there's a way things work. There's a way things work. The kingdom works according to authority. That's how the kingdom works. Authority flows from identity, and authority grows through submission to Jesus. And man, let me tell you, things change when you get this. Things change when you get this. And let me tell you how the Holy Spirit helped me to understand this. I grew up in a family of five. I was the baby of that family of five. And I talked a little bit before about some of the brokenness that were patterns in my family. So one of the things that was true in my family is I had four brothers and sisters, three of which struggled with addictions at some point in their journey. And so that was just a part of our family. So I remember my brother who's closest to me, his name is Rob. And Rob's last name is Smith. We have different dads. His last name is Smith. My brother Rob was a guy you did not want to meet in a dark alley. Let me just tell you. My brother Rob, like, I was never a tough kid. That just wasn't my thing. I was not the tough guy. I was more of a nerdy kid all the time. That was my thing. My brother Rob was a tough kid. He was a tough kid. And he had a nickname. They called him Smitty in the neighborhood. He had another name that was a nickname, Two Hit Smitty. Because Two Hit Smitty. Because when my brother fought you, there were going to be two hits in the fight. One was him hitting you in your jaw, and the next one was you hitting the ground. And I'm not telling you rumors. I'm not telling you stuff somebody told me. I have watched my brother knock out many people in his life. So Smitty had a reputation. Now, here's the thing. I grew up in a pretty tough neighborhood. And in that neighborhood, a lot of times, guys would want to step to me. I'd have a group of guys that would maybe want to challenge me. And I've been in situations where, I'm telling you, things were about to go bad for Chuck. They were really about to go bad for me. And in the middle of the circle of guys, somebody would say, oh, I think that's a little Smitty. That's a little Smitty. That's a little Smitty right there. Oh, that's Rob's brother? Yeah, that's a little Smitty, man. You don't want to mess with him. You don't want to mess with him. And I'm telling you, being connected to my brother got me out of many fights. You know why? Because my authority in that situation flowed from my relationship to my brother. Do you see that? Do you see that? There was a connection that was mine to access because I was Lil Smitty's brother. Right. Now here's what the Bible says. Jesus is your elder brother. That's what the Bible says. Your brother has authority over all of heaven and earth. And he's given the keys of the kingdom to you and me. So I want you to know, I don't know what the street fight is that you're in today. I don't know the people who are surrounding you today and telling you it's about to go bad for you today. But you need to know that in the middle of your fight, you've got an elder brother that's greater than Smitty. And you know who you are in Christ. You need to tell the people. You need to tell the demonic forces who are coming against you. Do you know who my brother is? Do you know who my brother is? Try this out. In the name of Jesus, go. In the name of Jesus, I stand against this. In the name of Jesus, I say no. In the name of Jesus, I say, you know what? Everything that is mine in Christ, I will receive in Christ. In the name of Jesus. Because my older brother made a public mockery of every enemy against me when he stretched out his arms and died on a cross. My older brother, 3 days after he made that public mockery, rose again with all power in his hands and the keys to death, hell, sin, and the grave. And you know what my older brother did? My older brother said, hey, this is yours. That's what my older brother did to me. He said, that's yours. Operate in that authority. So friends, I want you to know, you have got to know that there is a way things work. There is a way things work. But man, when you unlock this principle of authority, I'm telling you, you will see things in your life happen. You will see freedom happen in places where you're not experiencing freedom. There'll be healing in situations where there's not healing right now. Because there's a way things work. And I am not a pro at this. I'm not an expert at this. But this is what God is teaching me, and this is what I believe God wants us to know. He's inviting us to walk more fully in the authority that is already ours. He's inviting us to walk more fully in the authority that is already ours. Why? Why? Why does he want that for us? You know why? Because he wants it for everyone. Because that's what he died for. So Bright Star, this is a word specifically for you. I think it's for everybody in here, but specifically, I feel like the Lord wanted me to give you this word. As you understand your authority, and as you walk in your authority, as you understand that it flows from your identity and relationship with Jesus, and as you understand that it flows and grows as you surrender more of your life to Jesus, this verse, this final verse will be true for you. It'll be true for your community. I want to speak this blessing over Bright Star. Philippians 2:15 says, so that you may be blameless and pure. What? Children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you do what? Does that mean anything to your vision? Does that connect anything to who you are, Bright Star? Your name is Bright Star. I love it when Jesus is just so plain and obvious that we can't miss it. Your name is Bright Star. Your community is Bright Star. You will be a Bright Star. 13 years, you've been a Bright Star under the leadership of Pastor Jim and Diane. And I want to submit to you that there are more places for you to shine as a Bright Star. Because it's who you are. Because it's your identity. And you walk in an authority to be a star shining in the West, leading people. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. This is just about you walking in who you are. This is just about you walking in who you are. Here's what I know. I know right now in our city, there is a focus on the West End. I know there have been rumblings in our city for months about the West End. There's some stuff going on the West End, right? And here's the thing. We all know this. We know this because you've been here long enough to know this. 6 months from now and a year from now, the things everybody's focused on the West End, they will move into another direction, right? They'll be looking somewhere else. But I tell you who's going to be here 6 months from now. Who's going to be here a year from now? Who's going to be here 13 years from now? Who's going to be raising children who operate in authority that they inherited 13 years ago? It's going to be Bright Star. It's going to be this community. And so I want you to know there is something for you to understand about where the Lord is taking you. And I believe he wants you to know, friends, there's a way things work. This is an opportunity and a time to be walking out of everything that is keeping you from relationship with Jesus. You need to hear this very clearly. And this is for everybody in the room. This is not a time for us to be taking lightly that authority flows from identity. We need to know who we are in Jesus Christ. And we need to know that when we're having quiet times in the morning, when we're praying and we're spending time in our scriptures, that's not a duty. That's not a duty. It is something we need desperately. Because it is how we connect and relate to our identity. It is how we walk into more of our authority. And I'm just telling you guys, I don't know what God has in store, but I know there's a way things work. And I know he wants you to hear that word so that what he has in store looks more like the kingdom of heaven. So that where you're going looks more like more people understanding who Jesus is for them. And Bright Star, I just want you to know as a fellow brother in Christ and as someone who is committed to this city and to the transformation of this city, I'm excited to see how you will shine like stars. How you will shine like the bright star that you are. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for your word, God. Thank you so much for helping us, for loving us enough to show us this insight. That there is a way things work. And that, God, there is something for us to understand about authority in Christ. And so, God, I'm just asking that for each and every one of us, we would know exactly what it is that you are calling us to do with this word. For some of us, I believe, God, the answer and the call is simply to understand more of who you are. You've been letting everything around you define who you are. And Jesus is just saying, would you give me some time? Would you be willing to set aside time so that I can remind you of who you are? Jesus, that's what you want for us. For others of us, God, the call is simply to repent. God, there's something in our life that is turning us away from you. It's not bringing life to us. It's actually bringing death to us. And you love us enough to tell us you're going to crash. There is a brick wall coming. There is death coming. But if you would turn to me, repent and believe, there's good news on the other side of that repentance. Lord, I don't know who it is in here. I don't know who it is in here that you're speaking to specifically today. But God, I know this. I know there's power in confession. There's power in confession. So I'm just going to say, if the Lord is speaking to you, if the Lord is saying something to you today, I'm going to invite you to do a bold thing, and I'm going to invite you to just stand where you are right now. If the Lord is saying something to you through this message, if there is something that you need to repent from, or if there is something you need to walk more fully in, I'm going to invite you to take the bold step and just stand where you are right now. There's a way things work. There's a way things work. And here's what I know. If you're standing right now, but you've never said yes to Jesus, you've never surrendered your life to him, you've never recognized that what he did on the cross, he did for you. And what he did on the cross, only he could do for you. If you've never received that, I just want to encourage you, today is your day to receive that. Today is your day to receive that, because all of this is available to those who are children of God. And the way that we know that we're children of God is that we do what he commands. We come under his authority. So if that's anybody in here today, I'm just going to ask you to take another bold step. I'm going to ask you to come up to the front where I am.